the one I have chosen, starting at verse 9. So love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. You know, as I read through this, I think we make sometimes, or the world around us makes a big deal of the Ten Commandments. Do you know, I reckon these actually, it might be better if they chose this rather than the do not all the time. They're nicer do nots, aren't they? But they're the same ones. Anyway, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, dear friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to revenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, how does this all tie together? Well, actually, I came here a couple of years ago, and I spoke then about the organisation you've just seen, about CHIPS, and I spoke about what we were doing, the projects, the activities, and I kind of didn't want to repeat that, although some of you might not have been here then, but, you know, let's do something different. CHIPS, the Christian International Peace Service, is based on an understanding of Christ's peace. And I wanted to talk a bit more about that and, if you like, the theology behind what we are as an organisation. So it may seem a bit like it, but this isn't meant to be a plug for CHIPS, although having said that, I am going to plug it, and Wendy has some leaflets you can take away if you want, you know, big ones, little ones, and I'm more than happy for people to find out more about us, or indeed we look for churches to partner with as well. But real peace, come back to the plot, is much more than an absence of violence. It's more than just the state of quiet and tolerance, which is so often what you hear from the world. We must be a tolerant society. Real peace is active, it's dynamic, creative, very much relational. And we see this throughout scriptures. It's about people being fully able to utilize their differences, their similarities, their own abilities and their own weaknesses together so that things come together in harmony for the common good. For many Christians, the word in the Bible that they most associate with peace is shalom, a Hebrew word meaning peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, quite a difficult word to translate really, welfare, tranquility, and it's also used just as a greeting to say hello, goodbye, shalom. But there are two other words, Greek words, translated as peace in the English translation. The one you don't see very often is, if I pronounce it right, is hesukia, that means tranquility, the absence of trouble or conflict. In 1 Timothy 2, for example, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. We should do this, that we may live peaceful, hesukia, and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. But elsewhere in the New Testament, mostly, the Greek word used that's translated as peace is irene. This is more well understood as creative harmony. This is really more what we base our philosophy at CHIPS on. So, an example being John 14. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. For I have told you these things so that you may have peace, in John 16. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is more of a kind of creative harmony, which involves oppositions actively working together. And as in Matthew 5 refers, ideally we learn to love our enemy and start to work together consciously for each other's benefit and the common good. Whereas hesukia is passive and it falls apart when troubles or conflicts come along, but irene is more active and will produce practical, positive, creative initiatives. It's more than just an indwelling peace of the heart. It affects not only your individual, but also those around you. Someone who has this irene peace, who has the peace of Jesus, will come up with positive ideas in times of crisis, will want to implement them for the good of everyone. We are all Christian peacemakers, because we have this irene peace within us. And if both sides can work together with a high level of cooperation, then we're working out in practice and showing the true nature of New Testament peace, the peace that actually came to this world with our Lord Jesus. So, just coming back to the organisation of CHIPS, that I have the honour to be involved with. I've joined them, we've been involved with them for many, many years, and I became a trustee 2 or 3 years ago. I'm now chairman. It came as a bit of a shock. But this is why we do what we do, and how it is a reflection of our lives and of Jesus' teaching. The organisation came about in the 1960s in Cyprus, then a period of conflict. Many of us will have been around enough to know that. And since then we've worked in a number of countries. At present we have two projects. One is working to resolve tribal conflict in an area of northern Ghana, and one is working in Brixton in South London, where we're working to reduce tensions and problems in an area driven by knife crime, drugs, postcode conflict. Again, some of us will remember the 1980s, the Brixton riots, the Angel Town estate. Yep, that's where we are. Yeah. So how does CHIPS take both sides? Well, the first of our core peacemaking practices is to relate to all sides in a conflict. We take sides, both sides. This necessitates, as Jesus did on the cross, bearing the anger, bearing the enmity. When people see us do this, in so many places, we see Jesus in the scriptures bringing the hostility of the crowd onto himself, as he changes the lives of both those being oppressed and those doing the oppression. in our work of peacemaking, we look to follow that example and take sides with both sides in a conflict situation, and to take on us the anger that sometimes comes out with that. Some examples of Jesus doing this, just to name a few, Zacchaeus in Luke 19, or he come down from the tree, I'm coming to your place tonight, or standing in front of the Sanhedrin in Mark 14, or the woman caught in adultery in John 8. In our current project in Ghana, we do this by working with and praying for both sides of the opposing tribes, and we use practical projects to build trust. In Brixton, we work on the estate with a history of rivalry and violence, and we provide mostly youth projects that start to bring these opposing groups together, building friendship, tolerance and understanding. Jesus left his peace with his followers, and therefore with us, not as a loan, but as a free gift. This Irene peace, Ephesians 2, he himself is our peace. And he gives this to us as a permanent and lasting gift, especially when we find ourselves in dangerous or troubled situations. We just need to learn to call on this and not on our own strength. Even with Irene peace, there are setbacks, and it takes a long, long time to achieve aims or outcomes. And it won't fully exist until the kingdom of God is here. So we can see as we spread these seeds of peace that we are, just in a little way here and there, bringing this world a little bit closer to that world, breaking down barriers again between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. When the fall happened, all those years ago, relationships were broken. Our relationship with God was broken, of course. Also our relationships with each other, with the whole of God's creation. You don't need me to tell you that the world is falling apart. And the world will continue to have wars and interpersonal conflicts until Jesus comes back to bring his true, lasting peace. But until then, God continues to give that peace to those who trust him. Jesus truly, incredibly, really, made it possible for us to have a peace with God. And once that peace takes hold in our hearts, we are able, in fact, we become, well, not just willing, but almost without thinking, we begin to show and share that peace with others. We can become ministers of reconciliation. Jesus consistently stood with the outcasts, and one of the best examples, I think, was that courageous defence of the woman caught in adultery. Rather than lining up with the religious establishment who accused her, stones in hand, Jesus stood with the accused. He literally put himself in the firing line, and in doing so, disarmed a bloodthirsty mob. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And I wonder, if we aren't in danger of getting hit by a few stones, perhaps we aren't standing close enough to the marginalised. I don't know if I'm close enough, but Jesus certainly was. He spent his life being criticised as a friend of sinners. He was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard, guilty by association. He kept company with sex workers and insurrectionists, and he bore the consequences, of course, by hanging out with those deemed unsuitable. But Romans 8 specifically tells us there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. As he said, does no one condemn you? Well, then neither do I. And I ask, how good am I at that? Jesus commands us to seek peace. In Psalm 34, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Make every effort to do what leads to peace, says Romans 14. Jesus came with nothing, as all newborn babies do. He was helpless and dependent on the people around him. And he voluntarily restricted himself to those human limitations. He didn't come as a pauper, and he didn't come as a king, but he came into a normal working practice. And so does Chips. Typically, with just a backpack, and one or two addresses, and how to reach them, we go somewhere with very little, to sit where they sit, to live among the people, to help them out with our hands, to learn their language, their culture, their ways, and learn of possible practical projects that these people feel they may want to have. In Luke 18, even where we would think it was obvious that the blind man wanted to see, Jesus still asks, what is it you want me to do for you? Digging deeper into his sight. The basic unit of a CHIPS operation is to have a very small team, a handful of Christians living together as a small community that pray together and offer services to the wider. They do what they can to demonstrate love in the middle of a conflict, peace in the middle of danger. They take that mistrust and that fear, and absorbing that in part of the work, not the work that usually comes out in magazines, but it is the hardest part. But in terms of time, it's the service projects that take up most of that. So the CHIPS team will live where there is tension, living there simply, at the level of the people, in amongst two conflicting communities, or between them. In Nakpayili, we have a compound that has grown over the years, where Desmond and his wife live together with some of the team. And that's a central base for other members of the team who come in and where activities are organised from and where we go out from. In Brixton we have a flat, rented from Mission Housing, where two staff and a volunteer live. And we have a three-room office that's shared with a local church and is also the base for the local street pastors and is also our youth club and our centre of operations. Not bad for three small rooms, of which one really isn't much bigger than a cupboard. A CHIPS team will not normally be found where there is outright war, and it should not be found in places where there is no conflict. We don't engage in pacifist activities, and we rarely get involved in negotiations. But we do believe that Jesus Christ is our peace. An example rather than evangelism is our preferred way of letting that peace spread. The main impact of the CHIPS team is through the relationships we form with those around us, and through the variety of services, whether it's agricultural, veterinary, water development, building, village resettlement, youth work, whatever. And we tailor-make these for the situation. Jesus came to live among us as a human being sharing our life. He didn't make flying visits from heaven to see how we were getting on, and neither do we. He came into the centre of a tension situation, in that case Roman-occupied Palestine, and he came to stay. And we stay. And that makes all the difference that so often people can't believe. Typically, a project will last for 20 years, and this gives our team members credibility, and it brings trust, both from the local people and from government officials. Again, Jesus worked with his hands as a carpenter Is not this Joseph, a carpenter's son? And this is the way that we build a project, through practical things that benefit both sides appropriately and that both sides can become involved in and share in. He had compassion on the people and the crowds that followed him, and he went about helping people in different ways. Acts 10. As believers, we have an obligation to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Colossians 3. This means we have a choice, either to trust God's promises and therefore let his peace rule, or to rely on ourselves and reject the peace he offers. And I know which one my human self finds easiest. I always know better. This is one reason why the scriptures are so definite about how Christians should resolve differences. In Matthew 18, we see him instructing members to settle differences privately with each other, and if that fails, to seek help in resolving disputes. Discussion often holds the key to whether we settle differences or remain in conflict. Jesus gave his disciples peace based on that truth that he has overcome the world, and peace is a fruit of the Spirit. So if we're allowing the Spirit of God to rule in us, we will experience that peace. Real peace is much more than an absence of violence, and as I said earlier, even more than just a state of quiet tolerance. It's defined as the ability or the willingness to tolerate the existence of opinions or behaviour that one dislikes or disagrees with. More and more we seem to find this difficult, and I know you've heard it before, social media is to blame for pumping up the problem here with not listening. It's so easy to just blank or cancel someone. But real peace is active, dynamic, creative, relational. It's using our own skills, our own differences, looking at our second at the reading in Romans 12, Paul makes clear that change usually starts with the mind. I'm just going to read a little bit from Romans 12 verse 2 here. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Interesting that the word used for transformation or other change is actually the same word that is used for reconciliation. So in verse 9, talks about an act of the will changing our thinking pattern until we can speak well of, bless those who are our enemies, and then live in harmony with each other, leading to positive acts of generosity. The disciples themselves were transformed. They went from being fearful fishermen to courageous speakers, and from being with Jesus to later being filled by the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 10 we see Peter's change in attitude to the Gentiles. He couldn't have come to this change by himself. It was a fundamental change of attitude from his accepted thinking but of those around him. And it brings in a new era of effectively spreading the gospel to Gentiles, including his Jewish leaders who have no leaders. Again, Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well and the parable of the Good Samaritan are also challenging the disciples and his hearers about their attitudes to other groups of people, like the Samaritans, who were considered beyond the pale. When a group can meet a member of the opposing group, see him or her as an individual and take the first steps towards seeing that person as a human being saying similar to themselves, then the first brick in that wall of hostility is taken out, and the change of mind can start to begin. Transformation occurs when keeping a record of wrongs turns into being a shared story that both can recognize. Accusations can turn into confession, and then to a vulnerable sharing of each other's feelings. Working together on practical projects can speed up this process until it's possible to make your enemy into a friend, and to love and to share one's life with those of the other side. Christian love and teaching, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is the ultimate bond of peace that binds all together in perfect harmony. So often we think of that in a church-related context, but it doesn't have to be. And that's what the Christian peacemaker is aiming for. But different degrees of harmony can be found along the way. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit to mould us, to shape our journey, and to bless everything we do. I hope I've said something that has touched your heart. Wherever you are on this journey with us, come closer. Whatever your skills, whatever your gifts that God has given you, peacemaking will be part of it. You may not even realize this. Be a peace bringer. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. It's hard, right? It's too easy to ask for revenge. I've done it. I've done it myself. It's so hard to stop doing that. But if you love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. So if you want to know more about what we do practically, Wendy has some leaflets there and bigger booklets, and don't want to get more involved, just use them as an example for your own life. Thank you. And our last song.